This is Wolfman611, and you're listening to Audio Netcast number 5. On today's episode, I want to talk about the latest changes to the website, as well as several news articles that caught my eye, and I figured I'd have to give commentary on. First up, though, is the actual website. And for anybody who's seen the old website, you know, it was pretty outdated looking. It lasted for as long as it did, but on the same hand, you know, I think that we had it going there for about 5 years without no real changes to it. What really got it going, though, in terms of me not liking the look of it, was the ads, the Google ads we put in there. Prior to the Google ads showing up, the columns, the center space where the two columns were off on each side was way smaller than the space you had after you stuck the 800-pixel banner in there. So as soon as you put that big wide banner in there, you know, you had this great big huge space in the center, and any pictures I put in there had these great big spaces off to the side, and it, you know, it just didn't look good. You had text that was stretched out way too far from one side to the next. So overall, I wasn't happy, but I knew in order to change that, I was going to have to basically move to an entire different system. I was using Coronto, which was a CMS that a buddy of mine, Paul, recommended I use because he knew how to put it together. So he could actually, when I first built the website, it was him that set it up and basically got everything ready. So I, the only thing I had to do was just put articles into it. So for that reason, I went with it. However, probably about, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe a couple months after using it, I come across a website that had Mambo on it, which is another CMS system. And the difference was night and day. I mean, Mambo had a nice, you know, user interface. They even had it set up so you could do some testing on it. Basically, you could go in and see how the administration interface looked and, you know, what it looked like from a user's perspective on the other end and stuff like that. And when I seen that, I realized how outdated Coronto was. But on the same hand, I also had quite a few articles already put into Coronto, and to move wasn't going to be an easy task. And plus, on top of that, I really didn't know much about Mambo. Mambo, later on, as time goes on, ends up forking. There's a big disagreement. It has a huge user community behind it. There's a big disagreement between these two groups. Basically, one's a commercial entity, which, from what I understand, was controlling most of Mambo, and then they also had a huge user community. So the user community turned around and said, okay, screw it. The commercial side doesn't want to do what we do, so we're going to turn around and fork the code and make our own CMS based off of, so CMS means content management system. They're going to make their own CMS based off of Mambo. So they forked the code, and then they ended up with Joomla. So that's pretty much when I come into it. Once Joomla was around, I went onto their site there and checked it out and was keeping an eye on what they were doing. A buddy of mine at the time, Spider, that's the guy who basically provided the VPS for WolfmansBytes.com to run off for the last 5 years. He had a VPS up. Now, his VPS account could handle 25 accounts. He was only using maybe 2 or 3. So at the time, he said to me, he said, hey, man, if you want to put a test install of Joomla up, I'll set it up for you. You just got to go in there and screw around with it, see what you think. So I said, yeah, and pretty much we got it all set up and went in there. And he even went as far as to make basically a clone of Wolfman's Bytes back then and put that in there in terms of being on the user side, what you see when you browse the website and stuff. And it wasn't bad, but it just, I don't know. I still knew that it was going to be work to go from all the articles out of Coronto and then get them into Joomla. So I just let it ride. I said, okay, you know, I won't bother with that right now. On the same hand, I was also thinking that I really do got to switch out of Coronto, because Coronto, probably no one listening to this podcast has ever seen it. But if you had seen it, when you go in there and actually enter articles, there's nothing there. Like, there's just a simple input box, and that's it. So for people that like simplicity and they don't want to have any confusing options, it was perfect because it had no options. You know, if you wanted to turn around and send your text, you had to actually enter in direct HTML into the box to get your text to center up. Same goes for pictures and all this stuff. So it was really, really dated for what I wanted to do. Back in the day when it first came out, when Coronto first came out, you know, probably 10 years ago, whenever it was when it showed up, back then it was probably quite advanced, because I'm sure all of the content management systems back then really, you know, weren't all that much to write home about. But as time goes on, you get things like Joomla that have this nice graphical user interface. There's literally, when you go onto the Joomla site, there's just under 5,000 plugins. So it has huge amount of support. Pretty much anything you want to do is there in terms of plugins and stuff. They got a really active forum. There's a whole great big active community around them if you want to get a template. for your website. That's basically going to, you know, define how it looks and all that. They've got all that stuff. There's tons of sites that sell templates, $50 a piece around there. So it's quite the system. But as the years went on, I started thinking that I got to get out of Caronto because it's just, it feels like I'm stuck. You know, and on top of that, I really didn't even know how to set the thing up. I let Paul, the guy who originally set it up, take care of all that. And so if something goes wrong with it, I basically had to get a hold of him to get things fixed. Something else I didn't like too much. So I decided that probably now 2 weeks ago, I decided it was time to finally make the move. Because as time's going on as well, I'm also adding more articles into Caronto. And it's going to make the whole process, when I finally do decide to move, like if I wait another year from now or 2 years from now, that much worse in terms of actually the work I'm going to have to do to get everything transferred from one content management system to the next. So 2 weeks ago, I sat down and I just said to myself, that's it. Whatever it takes, it has to be done. And if that means that, you know, I got to sit there and copy and paste all the text out of one CMS and paste into the other and reformat it a bit, you know, each of the articles, then so be it. I got to get off that system and onto this new thing. So that's the way it started. First, I pretty much got Joomla. Well, actually, I got to go back further. With Spider, the guy who set up the VPS originally and the guy who had Wolfman's Bytes running on the VPS for 5 years, I decided finally to get off of his VPS and go on to my own hosted solution, if you want to call it that. Basically the same host, same provider, but now I'm on my own account where I control the entire show. So I did that. I got an account, and then I turned around and got Joomla set up on this account. And so now I control the entire thing, which is far more control than what I had before, which I didn't really, Spider never limited me in any way or anything like that. I'm not trying to get to that, but I just wanted to be, you know, it's like being your own host. You got your own space, you do whatever you want. And you're also, on the same hand, you're also the one to blame if something goes wrong, too. So you take that responsibility as well. But anyway, I finally got the account, got Joomla set up. But one of the biggest problems I had with Joomla was how am I going to get this thing to look the way I want it to look? And my site, anybody who's seen the site, you know, previously, this year, last year, whatever, know that the site is not all that complicated in terms of looks. You know, you got a column on the left, column on the right, and your center section. That's it. You got the banner on the top that says Wolfman's Bytes. But having said that, I went through, I must have looked at thousands of different templates for Joomla, and some really fancy looking ones, but there was none of them that actually, where I would turn around, and it wasn't even a money issue, I would have paid the $50 for the template. But nothing I seen, you know, resonated with me where I actually wanted to go and purchase that template and put it up, you know, base a site on it. Get Joomla to run it and actually have the site use that template, Wolfman's Bytes. So I figured, well, I don't know, I kept screwing around with the default. There's a couple, I think there's maybe three, yeah, I think there's three default templates you get with Joomla. And I kept going in there and just messing around just to see, you know, to get used to the way you put articles in it and the way you can lay stuff out and whatnot. And then I come across, one night when I was looking on, I think it was Google, I come across this program called Artisteer. Now, what you got to keep in mind here is that previous to actually using Artisteer, the only option you had template-wise was to either go out and purchase them and then sit there and hack the code, which is a huge pain in the ass, especially if you don't know any of the CSS like me. I'm not a programmer, so, you know, all that stuff's alien to begin with in terms of trying to edit these CSS files. So that's basically your only choice. You can sit there and you can try and modify the default templates and get them to do what you want, and, you know, best of luck to you. I'm sure there's some people out there that could do that. I wasn't going to be one of them. Keep in mind, I wanted to get Caronto, the old CMS, I wanted to get everything off of there and onto Joomla as quickly as possible. Mainly because I got other reviews to do and stuff, and I can't take, you know, forever to do this transfer. So at the time, I started looking around, and then I come across this program called Artisteer. And when you look at this thing and see it, it's incredible. Because what it allows you to do is actually sit there and build a site in a graphical way, almost like a Photoshop type of way, although it doesn't look anything like Photoshop, but you get the idea. It's basically graphics. You can draw and you can point at, you know, your one column, say that you want this wide or you want it this narrow or whatever the case may be. You can do all that. If you want to have certain colors, you want to have your buttons have like a glass effect on them, you want to use a certain type of menu layout, basically it will build 90% of the layout that you want. Now, the reason why I don't say 100% of the layout is because of certain things in there it doesn't even address. Like, for example, on my site now, if you look at the search Wolfman's Bytes search box, there's no way in Artisteer, as far as I'm aware, if anybody knows a way to do this, you know, send me a, hit the feedback button on the site there and send me a message. But if you look at the Search Wolfman's Bites, that little box, the search button, is off to the left-hand side. And there's no way to pull that search box into Artisteer, as far as I'm aware, and have that box centered up. Also, the input field where it says search, and you actually type your search in there, that's it's not centered up either. It's off to one side a bit. So that's part of the problem. If you can design most of the website in Artisteer, but you can't do all of it. Now, the Artisteer guys will turn around and say, well, you know, they support the basic modules, and that's true. They do support, you know, the menus and the columns and all that stuff. And I'm even though they only do 90% of the actual template in terms of stuff like that, the power that's there is just incredible. They got these random options where you can turn around and hit a button, and it will randomly go through the different various colors that you might want to use for your website. So you want your columns one color, the center section another color, and the background that the website's sitting on another color. But you can sit there and click this button, it'll do random things all day long. So you can get different color schemes. Same thing with if you want buttons to look a certain way. It's all real time, too. When you go over, you know, if you want rounded edges on your buttons, you just hover the mouse over that, and all of a sudden all the buttons on your page will get rounded corners. Like I said previously, if you want the glass effect or you want some kind of weird graphics effect or whatever, you just hover the mouse over it. You can see what it's going to do. If you want it, you click it. If not, go on to the next option, do the same thing. It's got like a live preview type of thing, if you want to call it that. So anybody looking to do a website and they're going to use Joomla and they're going to do their own template, like I said, your options are to sit there with CSS in Notepad or something like that and pull all your hair out, or to sit in something like Artisteer and actually be able to graphically design the way you want your site to be laid out and the way it looks. So Artisteer is a good program. Price is a bit expensive. It's like $130. That's what it cost me to purchase it. But, you know, if you look at the templates, each template is $50, $60 around there. So if I buy two templates, there's the cost of the program. Once you buy the program, you got the program for good. I think you have updates for a year, something like that. And then after that, you got to pretty much give them some more money to get more updates. Which I'm not a big fan of that. I like to see programs that are made once, especially programs that cost $130. You know, I like to be able to buy it once and have support for as long as they support it. Shouldn't have to keep paying for that, especially on a program of this price range. So anyway, I got Artisteer going there and got the site up the way I wanted it, and then I had to do all the cutting and pasting from Kronto into Joomla, and that was a huge pain in the ass. However, after, you know, going through all this stuff and finally going through a few errors and having Kronto crash on me because I deleted a folder I shouldn't delete it, I had to get Paul there, the Kronto expert, to go back in and straighten all that up. So I thank him for taking the time to do that as well. Spider, I got to thank him too. I mean, the site was hosted there for 5 years on his VPS or on a slot on his VPS. You know, no issues. You know, site was for the most part running all the time. Everything was good. So, you know, big thanks to both of them guys for helping me out in terms of, you know, with the site and stuff. The site now is fully up. Everything's working the way it's supposed to work. You can see, as far as I'm concerned, it looks a million times better. Even though the actual layout isn't all that different from where it was before, it's different enough where, to me, the whole site just looks a lot better. Especially the menu is done a lot neater, looks a lot nicer. The news feed now, which is pulled from TG Daily, has got like twice the amount of width, so the sentences and stuff look fairly good in there too. It's not crunched like it was before with such a small little column. There's polls now on the site. Like, the Joomla just has way more. I can't even get into the difference in terms of power between Joomla and Kronto. Kronto, you could do all this too if you actually wanted to sit there and program it yourself, which again, I didn't want to do. Paul, the original guy who got me on a Kronto, he did that. He took his version and basically went through and modified it, you know, all to hell and back, and it does what he wants it to do. Problem is, he's the only one that understands what it's doing, since he's the one that built it. So for me, he figured the best way for me to go was to turn around and use just the standard version of it that wasn't complicated, if you will. But Joomla is like a million times, as far as I'm concerned, a million times better. It's also been fully supported for years now. Microsoft just recently got behind it. It's going to be around for a long time. It's well supported. And that's that. The site's done on it. You know, again, I like to thank the Joomla guys for taking the time, the plugin guys for making the plugins, all them guys, man. Without these guys, you know, donating their time and stuff, you wouldn't even have things like Joomla or the plugins for it or anything else. So, hats off to them guys, too. Now, that's probably enough rambling about the website and how it looks beautifully, I might say. Let's go over here. Here's something here. On the website, ironically enough, if you go on there on the homepage, you'll see there's a review of IK Multimedia Amplitude Fender. Hang on a second here, go down. This cuts into the next story. Video review, PC version of Battlefield Bad Company 2. Now, when you read this review, there's a text review, then there's a review I did on YouTube. You'll see that this game is a real piece of work. Actually, it's a real piece of shit. Let's not mince words here. That's just the way I think of it. They did a nice job on the graphics. They did a nice job on the sound. But so much more of the game sucks, you know? It's still the same old crap where you're sitting there, and you got, you know, you start your round on your map, and there's only like two or three vehicles. Of course, you got 15 guys, you know, per side, so those vehicles disappear in a hurry. So you're running to your destination. They got the boundary set really, really small. You got to keep in mind, this is a console port. They ported this game from the Xbox or PlayStation 3, whatever version they wanted to use, and they ported that to the PC. So the boundaries and all the limitations that you have on the console, you have as well on the PC. They even put the mini-map on the PC version down the lower left-hand side of the screen. Well, that doesn't happen. On a PC game, that thing's supposed to be up in the upper right. You know, it's never down the lower left. That shows you how lazy EA and DICE were. They didn't even want to move the map to where it should be on the screen. And there was numerous issues with this game. You're probably better off to read the review than for me to get into this here, but there was tons and tons and tons of problems with it. Everything from, you know, the first day the game was released to the fact that you couldn't even connect up to a server for several days after. You know, you had to wait 4 or 5 days after the game's released to get connected up to a server and be able to play a game where you weren't booted off within 2 seconds. Then there was a Punkbuster screw-up where that was booting people left and right, and so a lot of the admins, because it was screwed up, a lot of the admins turned around, like administrators of the servers turned around, and disable Punkbuster. Well, as soon as they do that, all the hackers, you know, they start licking their lips and clapping their hands, and they get on there, and the next thing you know, every server you join, you know, you don't even get a chance to move 2 feet, and you're getting picked off, headshotted all the time. So the whole game is basically a massive screw up. This is no surprise. Every game that EA and DICE have released since Battlefield 1942 have been. It's almost like they've gotten progressively worse as time has gone on. Instead of learning from, you know, past mistakes and all that stuff and making things better as you go along, they've gone backwards. They just keep. It's like the. It's retardism. They're getting worse and not better. So, that ties into this next news article here. You got Epic, of all people. It says, Epic blames piracy for PC woes. And right here, the title of this news story is, the first sentence in here says, Epic game boss Mike Kappa is blaming piracy for a decline in PC games, claiming that protections on consoles have spurred the developer to pursue consoles over PC. I can't even believe this. I mean, you got this company that's blaming piracy for them not doing well? Well, maybe it's not piracy as to why you're not doing well. Maybe it's because you're making shit, and that's why you're not doing well. You know, I've spent probably the last year going to all the top sites, GameSpot, IGN, all these sites, and looking at, you know, what games they're given, say, a rating of 9. And there's not really that many. And the ones they are giving the rating of 9 or above, there's not, they're no good. You sit there and look at these games and think, what the hell are these guys thinking about? Battlefield Bad Company 2, which is the game I reviewed already on the website, the text reviews there, the YouTube videos there. It's mind-boggling what they've done there. They've turned around, they've taken a console port and just threw it on the PC. And I mean literally, just threw it on the PC. It didn't make no modifications for the PC. They didn't make it look any better or run any better or anything. They just, you know, complete, here, let's take this program file and run it over here. That's what they did. And so when they do that, you know, the gamers ain't retarded, despite the fact the game makers are. And so when we see this, we sit there and say, well, why should we turn around and fork out $50 for that game? And better yet, if we're going to fork out $50 for the game, why don't we just get it on a console where it'll run properly anyway and screw the PC? And so now all these game makers are sitting back saying, well, why are, you know, piracy has to be the reason why we're not doing very well in sales. No, the reason why you're not doing well in sales is you haven't made anything any good. You know, where's the last PC game where you were sitting there licking your lips, clapping your hands together, thinking, man, I got to get my hands on that. Well, the last time I seen that was pretty much World of Warcraft would be close. I think that was well done, although that's been, that's gotten really long in the tooth too. But the only other game I can think of that where that kind of excitement was, there's been a couple games. Counter-Strike Source, then you got Far Cry was really good, although its multiplayer wasn't that great. And then you got Battlefield 1942, which I didn't buy that for Battlefield 1942. I bought it for the mod Desert Combat. So there's only been a couple games, really, in the last 5, maybe 10 years that have actually been something where you say, man, I got to go and get me some of that. Grand Theft Auto for the console was another one of those where there was so much hype around, and they did a really good job. That game, city-wise, and what they did there with the graphics and what they're making the consoles do and stuff is really top-notch. But, I mean, other than that, there's really not that many good games out there. And the other problem you got is these game makers are all sitting there saying, well, we're going to develop for the console because there's better piracy protection on the console, and therefore screw the PC. So if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to develop everything on the console because it's a better platform in terms of your stuff not being pirated, then why are you bitching about your low PC sales? You're not putting anything into the PC side anyway. You're just doing like a copy and paste from the console to the PC. So why do you expect any money from that? I don't know. This blows my mind that these guys even come out with these types of comments. It's like they don't even know. They don't have any idea what they're talking about. Or they're not even gamers. That's probably the biggest thing right there. They're suits sitting there counting the money and the checks and all that shit. And so, therefore, they don't even see it from our point of view at all. I see it as these guys trying to screw us. Every time a new game comes out, it's always basically pretty much the same thing as the console version. And that's what the PC version has. Even look at Modern Warfare 2 when they turned around and decided not to give the PC gamers any dedicated servers. I mean, come on. PC games have had dedicated servers, man, for 20 years. Maybe even longer than that. And all of a sudden now, you guys, because you're lazy and you're cheap, you don't want to give the PC gamers any dedicated servers? So, I don't know. Why do they expect the PC gamers to get behind that? It's crap. So anyway, that's my rant on Epic there and their piracy. I mean, I don't think they should blame it on piracy. As for their lack of cash, they should blame it on themselves. Lazy. They don't want to make good games. Everybody wants to just run and splash the latest graphics on there and use the big buzzwords, get a good screenshot on the box, because remember, that's what we're going to be seeing in the stores. And then when you get this, pile of crap home and open it up, it's like, what is this? And what makes it even worse is you can't take it back to the store and say, I want a refund. If you could do that, these game makers would really start to shit. Because then they'd actually have, viable proof that people are they're not happy. They're dissatisfied with the product. And now there's a way to show it. Until it changes where you can actually take something like that back because it sucks, they're just going to keep, you're going to keep getting these games saying, oh, we sold 2 million. Yeah, well, you sold 2 million because no one could return any of them. And if you had people that could actually take stuff back, I agree that a lot of people ain't going to take them back. They're going to be lazy, but, I certainly would have taken Modern Warfare, or not Modern Warfare 2, Battlefield 2 Bad Company. I would have taken that back. Bad Company 2. That would have went back to the store. And I said, I'd like my money back, please. Because that really, I just couldn't even believe the way they handled that. Unbelievable. Okay, so that's my rant here, pretty much my website, and this story here ate up all my time. I would like to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to this netcast, and I hope to have another one ready to go soon. All articles in the netcast will have links in the show notes on my website at www.wolfmansbytes.com. That's www.wolfmanzbytes.com. Feel free to share this netcast with friends or even upload it to P2P sites. This audio netcast is licensed under Creative Commons 2.5 license for Canada. More information on the license can be found on the bottom of any page on my website. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.